Hey there, it's Ian. We had some technical issues when recording this episode, so the audio quality will be a little bit subpar than our normal, but please stick with us anyway, enjoy the episode as normal, and give us your feedback. Thanks.
Gentlemen, friends and rivals, my name is Jared, and with me, the great one himself, Ian.
That's me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we're at the two-top table, taking a look at Trick Shot 2nd Edition, designed by Nikita Kalov and Artyom Nichipov. Artwork created by Matthew Bellew, I'm so sorry, and published by Wolf Designer.
Trick Shot is a two-player hockey game where players are skating, shooting, passing, and checking, all in an attempt to light up the scoreboard and win, win, win. The player who leads on the scoreboard at the end of the game wins, and he shoots, he scores, and you don't suck, but
oh, that's a twist.
He shoots, he scores, we win. Let's review Trick Shot.
I don't know. Are we allowed to say that anyone else besides us sucks this year as the Nashville Predators?
No, absolutely not. Other than the two teams below
other
us.
Than the Blackhawks that we broke thoroughly in the playoffs
and,
a few years
and
ago.
And San Jose.
Well, we don't
San Jose? Who?
Who's that?
Who's that? San who?
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Ian.
Well, it's hockey night.
It is hockey night. We're getting ready for the playoffs.
Yep, which is not our team.
Guess what? The Predators are not getting ready for the playoffs.
I will be watching the playoff hockey, though. I love playoff hockey. I didn't even see the question you had here.
Oh, well, why don't you reveal to the listeners who also could not see the question?
No. Here. Yeah. I was going to say, yes. Okay, we'll start there because I have a follow-up. What got you interested in hockey as a whole?
Well, I'm so glad you asked.
Okay, good. And listeners, please tell us. But
yes. So growing up as a small child, I was forced to play baseball. You guys, I sucked at baseball just so much. It was so bad. I did not enjoy baseball.
Oh, boy.
It was my father's dream for his son to play baseball.
Oh no, one of those moments.
It was more than a moment. It was many years.
Oh boy.
So finally, one year, I think we started when I was like 5 or 6.
Okay.
And I think I want to say by the time I was 10 or 11, I said, Dad, I can't do this anymore. I'm out.
You're like, I'm done, Dad.
I don't enjoy this.
This is your dream, Dad, not mine.
That's right. You and I both know, Dad, that I'm really bad at this. Like, I can't do it anymore. So I took a year off of sports.
Okay.
And my parents are panicking because all I'm doing is playing video games.
Yeah,
and
Halo.
Like, he's going to die because he's just going to sit in his room and play video games.
He's playing Super Mario and Halo for the rest of his life.
And Pokemon.
And Pokemon.
But, yeah. But anyways, so my mom, of all people, bless her soul, she found this inline hockey league. Nice. And she was like, hey, guys, what about this?
Yeah.
Because Dad didn't want me playing football.
Right.
I wasn't interested in playing soccer.
No. Like, no brain injuries.
Yeah. We try this thing out.
Yeah.
And I fall in love with it immediately.
Yeah.
And it's just it's so good. And that's then cool. We get involved with ice hockey.
Yeah.
And we're going to ice hockey games. And it's, you know, I played all the way through high school.
That's cool.
So, yeah, no, it was a great time. Really loved it.
Yeah, that's neat. No, I think as far as hockey wise, as far as interest, it grew. Obviously, growing up here, the Preds were like we just started a team.
Yeah.
So I grew up like just, okay, we can go get a $12 seat and with the whole family. And we had friends who had season tickets early on and they would like, I mean, they had season tickets for like seven seats. So they were, we would go to the games all the time. And as that grew, I started watching other teams. My family's all from Pittsburgh. They were all Penguin fans, which I used to be a fan, mainly because it was just hockey. But I did like the earlier on, like Marc-Andre Fleury. He had a moment a couple nights ago. I'm sure if you watch hockey, you would have seen it. But he met on the ice after a regular season game, and they shook hands with the other team, Alex Ovechkin. I thought that doesn't happen in the regular season for those who don't watch hockey, like to have a two teams like, you know, handshaking after that happens in the playoffs. And so to see that, I grew up watching Marc-Andre Fleury. That was one of my favorite goalies growing up. Other than like the Preds people, obviously. I love everybody on the Preds. But any other players I liked, he was great. I loved him. And so seeing their first cup run back in like 08 maybe or something like that was awesome. And then I hated that they beat us. But
what can you do?
Yeah, what can you do?
Except watch Crosby dribble. Yeah, Subban's
head. Yeah, I don't think it was funny because I saw Subban talking about it one day and he just like totally blew it off. He's like, yeah, Crosby's such a great guy. I'm like, except for the one time he like dunked your head into the ice, but totally fine. He doesn't recall. That's what it is. He doesn't recall. He had got a concussion from the play.
That's right. So,
but anyway, all of that. Do you have one, a favorite player, and then like a favorite moment that either you're at a game or watching on TV or something like that? Do you have recall a moment you're like, okay, that was pretty awesome?
So I've already used my moment when we talked about the photography game.
We did talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So growing up, Peter Forsberg was my favorite player.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Let's say like early into the journey of hockey, what was your favorite player?
I started out an Avalanche fan.
Okay.
It was one of those things where the local team really sucks.
Yeah.
And when we're getting into hockey, right. I'm like, well, I don't really want to root for I was born and raised a Yankees fan.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not used to losing, Ian.
Yeah.
So no, I think a lot of great players that have come through the game, Paul Kariya.
Oh yeah.
I loved Paul Kariya.
Paul Kariya.
When he was on the Ducks, I remember that game where he got knocked out mid game and then came back and won the winning goal.
That was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always loved watching Kariya play.
Oh, he's so good.
For those that don't know, like I'm a big guy. And so most people are like, oh, he gravitates towards like the big brutes. No. I love the speed and skill positions. Like that's the way to go for me.
Dude.
So I loved him. I loved it. And it was, I never admitted it out loud growing up because they were a rival. But watching Lidstrom play for the Red Wings it was just like watching an artist work. It was so cool.
Lidstrom, Datsyuk, and Zetterberg later.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I hate it, but
they're so good. Yeah. Like
that team was cracked. Yeah.
It's true. They before the salary cap, yeah, Detroit
that
definitely
team was cracked.
And I mean Colorado did too. Let's not
Chris Osgood and Hasek. Oh God, that team was loaded.
It was pretty good. I mean, as far as Predators players, I loved Vokun. I loved that sassy attitude. I also really loved Ekholm for a long time.
Yeah.
Really, he was one of my favorites. I loved Ekholm. It really broke my heart when they traded him.
Yeah.
But I understood.
Yeah.
So that's some of my favorites.
As far as, I remember the biggest moment, especially early on, cause I've had better moments now, but I remember a moment, it was the Preds made the playoffs multiple times and we never beat anybody.
Yeah.
We never made it past anything. And we finally played, was it Detroit? I think we beat for the first time. Was it Detroit or am I thinking of a different team?
Detroit was the first team that we played in the playoffs. But I don't think they were the ones we beat first.
Our first playoff series.
Yes, Detroit was the first playoff series
that we won. No, I might be misremembering. You know, it's all.
I think it was the Ducks.
What about when we made it past the second round? Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Blues.
Was it the Blues we beat?
Pretty sure.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I would say one of my favorite moments that I've had, and it was early on, is that when the Predators won their first playoff series win, and then they started winning more frequently in the postseason. I remember a specific game they played against San Jose. It was like triple overtime or something crazy like that. I stayed up, and I think it was Mike Fisher that scored. Anyway, such a just amazing experience to see a team that like didn't do anything ever start winning a lot. Just that it wasn't really one specific moment. It was just a couple years where you're like, okay, we have a team now.
Yep.
Like we're no longer the bumps. we've beaten good teams. We're in it every year. We're hanging in there. And I think that was so fun. But one of my favorite players, especially early on, was Steve Sullivan.
Sully was so fun to watch.
Yeah, Steve Sullivan.
Dude, and speaking of Korea, like I was so excited to have Sully and Korea on the same team.
The trade for Korea was awesome. And then Jason Arnott was another one. Jordan Tutu actually might have been my favorite player because he would get in a fight every single game. And he's like literally 5 feet short. It's like he was so much shorter than everybody else, but he would fight. So that was just a fun time to when you're getting new, you know, you're new to a sport as a fan, and no matter what sport it is, you have to have a reason to be interested.
Yeah.
Especially in your local team, which may or may not be very good. You need to have something that brings identity to that team, and brings something that the fans want. Like, as an example, I don't watch basketball, and basketball is going right now, but I'll hop on and watch, you know, Kentucky or Tennessee or Duke play. And I'm like, I'm pointing to this one guy. I'm like, that guy is good. And it makes me interested in watching. That's a thing like that was so cool getting into the sport of like, there was so many iconic people and players to play that you were just constantly keeping up with it. And then our own team, the positive is that our own team had them. And we weren't great, but we were good enough that we had interest and we had quality players come in and, I don't know, kind of carry the culture. And I thought it was really cool. It made, as a young fan, you look at those players and you're like, you know, that's what got me into the game. I thought it was really, really cool. And not many, you know, there might be one Hall of Famer out of all that, like maybe Korea, but, and then as it went on, you know, you have Shea Weber who is a Hall of Famer and then Pekka. So, like it kept me interested, and I think that was so cool. And I hope, you know, my kids and all that get that experience because I think that's super neat. Like hockey is such a just fascinating sport, and as we talk about this game, we'll talk about this game at some point. But I think hockey is really something that hasn't changed. It's very consistent, even for the many years that it's still going. It still always brings energy. Where other sports don't always in the regular season, where hockey is just like, it's just always going. Like they bring that energy every game.
Well, and I think too, and we're going to talk about hockey for a few more minutes because we both love it. But I mean, every sport, the playoffs are a grind.
Yeah.
But there's a different level of grind when you have to win 4-7 game series.
I think it's the hardest trophy to win.
It's crazy.
It is the hardest trophy to win. I don't care what anybody says. I know baseball's hard. They haven't had a winner the same, like you haven't gone back to back in 20 years, whatever. I think hockey is so physical. You know, you need puck luck at times.
Yeah.
Like you need a game or two that's puck luck, and you need streaky goaltending. And you need all of your top players play all the time. Like you could have one of the best goalies in the world. If he has two bad games, you're done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting because I think that turns some people off to the sport because you want a lot of people, you want to have just skill determine who wins and who doesn't. But there's this grind and intensity and this like ability to overcome that I think shows up more in hockey than it does in any other sport. Anyways, so hockey is very near and dear to my heart, near and dear to yours. And so, you know, when Wolf Design announced the first edition of this game, I was very excited about it and have always wanted a good hockey game.
Yep.
I think with the first, so I kickstarted the first edition, got it, loved the minis, they did a great job with that. And we can go ahead and talk about the artwork because I don't think the artwork changes too much from first edition to second edition. And they do a great job. I think right now the only edition you can get is the pre-painted, but they're fantastic miniatures that go on this board. The board is nice and big. It's got a fun atmosphere to it around the edge of the rink. And there's a very cartoony, but very hockey-like feel to all of the art, whether it's the miniatures themselves or the cards or the board.
The first one came out in 2021, where the newest one, second edition, came out in 2024.
Right.
I think the minis look great. I would say they probably look better if you just paint them if you didn't have a painted one. So, because I think it's just something you would need to do.
Sure.
So I'm glad. If not, they just have like colored bases. So again, when you talk about like a team game, like you have two teams, it definitely like it's nice to have them painted. And again, I think this, you know, it comes painted in this edition. So,
well, I saw a lot of people online that at first were like, yeah, I wish I could have gotten the and when I bought it, I was upset that they only had the pre-painted. But then once I put it on the table, I was really happy that I had it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So
it looks good. No, it's not a bad paint job. They're good paint jobs.
Sure.
Yeah, I really like them. So I don't know. I mean, I have painted minis in the past. It's been a while. This is not a game I would like go to paint. I want it painted.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the paint job on that. So first edition came and went. I think it had some flaws that made it feel very clunky.
Yeah.
And very, I mean, there wasn't enough differentiation between your team and my team when we were playing. So then second edition rolls around, like you said, in 2024. And I got excited again, being like, okay, let's try it out. Let's see. So here we are with this edition, and we can kind of get into it.
Yeah. Tell us. It plays like hockey.
Does it?
I don't know. Tell us. I want to know.
Okay. So talking about how to play this game, Trickshot has a few different game modes. All the game modes end with whoever has the most goals at the end of the game is going to be declared the winner. There are three modes. They are classic, arcade, and a quick game. A classic game, you're playing the full three periods. A quick game, you're doing the full rule set, but you're just playing one period. And the arcade mode, it's very simplified. There's no unique players. There's no arena. All the players have the same size and speed. Everything is reduced to give you this very simplistic family weight game. You want to score the most goals, like in any sport. You want to have the most points, unless you're playing golf, but we're not going to talk about that.
Let's hope not.
So you set up the board like a normal hockey game. You have a face-off at center to begin the game. One person is determined as the first player, and they get to begin. On a player's turn, they have a variety of different actions that they can take. They can move a skater. They can pass the puck. They can shoot on the goal. They can check an opponent, or they can try and take the puck away from an opponent. There are more intricacies in each of those that I could go over, but essentially those are your actions more or less. Each action that you do, when you activate a player, you say what you're going to do, you go ahead and make that action, and then you roll a die to see if it was successful or not. If the die does not roll a failure, then you may continue your turn. The action was successful and you may activate again. You cannot activate the same player two times in a row, but you can come back to that player on your third activation if you so chose. Each time that you activate, though, you're adding more dice to your dice pool. There will be certain times where if you roll, you either have to get a certain result, or again, if you roll a failure, that will end your turn. So it essentially has this push your luck mechanism to it. Players will continue back and forth. There are rerolls involved as well that you can incorporate that you do lose until you have completed what is called a line change. Those are important. You can't just run the table forever.
Nah, you gotta score goals. Sometimes your players get tired. You can't just leave your guy out there all night, man. It's tiring.
So you've got to, and again, like there is a aspect of learning how many dice you can get away with before it becomes more risk than reward. The board is set up in a checkered-like manner. So it has a chess feel to it as far as how you're moving your players around the board.
Yeah.
The opponent's players have some reactions that they can do, but for the most part, they do not move on your turn. Once you either line change or fail on a dice roll, or if you score, or if the period ends, then the turn switches to the other player and they get to start their turn. Play goes back and forth again until either the end of one period, three periods, depending on which game mode that you have decided.
Yeah.
And again, whoever has the most points wins. There are a couple other things to keep in mind. You decide on an arena at the beginning of the game. that will have a special ability incorporated for that arena. There are also different player abilities. So not only are there centers, wingers, defensemen, and goalies that all have different stats, like in a hockey game, but within that, there are also different types of each of those players, giving more uniqueness to your team. There are preset teams based on the teams that you draft from the arenas. So if I chose the Colorado Avalanche and Ian chose the Pittsburgh Penguins, that would have a you get this, this, and this. Or you could choose to draft your team if you wanted to. Another thing that's been refined is that there are improvements in the dice rolling itself, the way that the reactions have kind of been incorporated more into the game versus first edition. And it overall just has a much smoother feel to it in the way that everything flows.
Yeah.
That is more or less the game. We will link a how to play video as always. And with that, let's discuss.
Well,
yeah,
I think the art style is fantastic. I mean, yeah. I think it's cute and fun. And is it Matthew?
I believe so. Okay. I'm not going to try his last name again.
No, that's fine.
I've already butchered it once.
He's done like six products or projects. And it looks like he likes that style. And I think what I like is, so the cards to the board, it has like that style on the board in the stands.
Yeah.
It correlates with the minis. The minis have that kind of goofiness well. And I think that all translate. They all look, it's all consistent. It's a consistent.
It is very consistent across the board.
One thing that you'll catch in some games where you like the artist did like all the art pieces, and then when they put it on the game, it is not the same. So I like the fact that it's the same.
Yeah,
like it's still that kind of goofy arcade light, you know, style, cartoony fun as a hockey game. So I think it's cool. So there's that. I want to touch on that because I think they deserve credit for all of that. So. What do you like, Jared? What makes you feel hockey?
I will say off the bat, it is as close as I've come to experiencing a game that simulates a live sport.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Just any type of sport.
I feel like golf is way easier than any other sport to emulate in a tabletop version.
Yeah.
Because you're literally hitting a ball, you watch the ball, and then you move on.
Yeah.
But any other game, football, hockey, baseball also is a little bit easier in a way, but to me, it's very hard to emulate a live sport in tabletop form.
Unless it's racing, that's the only one that like you can do good.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what it is about racing that makes it easier, because everybody is technically moving all at the same time.
Right, but you can take turns.
You can.
Like where in a live action game. So I would say the big four, you know, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, you know.
Wow, that is the most un-American thing that you've ever said.
Well,
you excluded football from the big four of sports.
Well, I mean, well, so five. But globally, soccer is definitely the soccer is a bigger. If we're talking about America,
but we only know football here.
Yeah.
In the South.
All right, five.
America.
I'm sorry. The big five. I wanted to include soccer, so I forgot football.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I was like, you got to make sure you say soccer, 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 soccer. And then I didn't say football.
Then you didn't say football.
Which is, they're both football. Anyway, my point is that out of those, it's very fluid. The gameplay, like in the actual real life sport, is fluid. It's moving at all times. It doesn't have a lot of stops. Like when the play is happening, it's all happening simultaneously. Unlike racing, it's like if you're just racing around a track, sure. That's way easier to emulate. It's never stops. It's just always moving.
Yep.
And so where something, if there's plays or pauses and stuff, it's a little bit more challenging to replicate.
So with all that, like this is a very roundabout way of saying,
yeah,
I think it's the closest that a game has come to emulating a live sport. It's not a very well explored genre.
No.
And I think it's because of that difficulty.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I would agree that it's it does emulate it relatively well.
Yeah. So I like when it shines, it's pretty cool. Like when you can set up the play, you're moving your guys around.
Yeah.
You're making it work. that feels so cool, and you feel like you've made a hockey play. And I will say, like in real hockey, it is difficult to do. It is not something that just comes naturally all the time in a game.
Yeah.
Hence why games are lower scoring.
Right.
But when you make it happen, dude, it does have this really cool hockey feel, and you want to stand up and you can hear the goal horn in your head.
Yeah.
And that part just is really cool.
Yeah. No, I think it, when you pull off the combo in this, which is usually like a steal and then a pass and then a shoot, or like a long pass and then another pass and
you're
a shot.
You're skating it in, you see your other guy that's just skated in. Yeah. You're going to pass it over to him.
I think that's cool. I think that the dynamics of the passing and moving and rolling the dice, I think works. Like, I think the aspect of that of, okay, like, it's a short pass, it's early on, like, I can make it, and odds are I'm going to do okay.
Sure.
Now, it is dice, though, so you don't always roll that.
You never know.
And I know in one of the games we played, it was like we were both rolling. We were just turning it over left and right.
All over the
place. Was like six plays in a row where we like didn't, like, we just could not make a pass. So, and I mean, I guess that happens in real hockey too, but it's like, it was just kind of frustrating. You're like, I'm just trying to just make the pass. But when it does, when it starts flowing, when you start hitting the dice right, it does feel like you're making some plays and you're skating up and down the ice. And so that's really nice. And I think it's something that, like we said, it makes you feel like you're playing a game of hockey. And I think that's really neat. And another thing I'll just go again with another thing. I like one, the arenas I think is awesome. I like that they're all real teams. Like, they got all the branding stuff in order, and each of those arenas like gives you these kind of special care, you know, it gives you your team. It doesn't like have any, like, a lot of the teams are similar and like the combos are not endless. Like, they have to recycle them.
Sure.
I like the idea that I feel like my team's unique. And so that's cool to me. Like, you can't just do every team's different, but I like the fact that they made it pretty different. Like, a lot of the teams are different in their own way. And so I think that's really neat. And I like all of the actual characters of skaters' abilities. Like, the defensemen have their own set, and the forward, the two-way, or the center has their own, and then the winger, mm-hmm. and then the goalie. I think that was a neat way to make each skater feel like their own, but also, like, the defensemen, like, usually they're bigger anyway. They're not skaters, so they feel bigger. They feel like but they're better at defense. That's really good, and they could check a lot better, and like all that. So it creates that feel that it is a team, and each of your players does something, brings something to the table differently.
I'm going to bring this up as a critique later, and I'm just going to go ahead and caveat that now. But I'm also going to give it praise, because I do think that giving, even though it's not like fully unique for every team, giving each position a set of cards to pick from to give unique player features completely changed this game from first edition to second edition.
Okay. I didn't play first, so
first edition was so, like, it just felt like you were team A and I was team B.
Gotcha.
And we were basically the same team.
Yeah.
And
didn't feel any uniqueness.
Like, who cares? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that ad, because I think it was, with it working within the confines of this game, it was a great ad for what it gave the game. Mm-hmm. A true upgrade in a second edition, like a second edition is supposed to do.
Yeah.
I do like that. It's so interesting. The people who made this game understand hockey.
Yeah.
Like, I think you have three levels of hockey fans. You have people who say, I go to watch the fights and drink beer. Like, that's what they're there for. And when they make those comments to the third tier of people, that third tier dies inside, because that's not how they see hockey. Then you have your second tier, which is like casual, learning the rules, getting into it, still loves the fights, but also is starting to see the order and the strategy underneath all the chaos. And then you got your third level, which is totally bought in on the strategy of overcoming the chaos.
Yeah.
And I love that this game does incorporate that strategy, because you can't just keep pushing your luck forever.
Yeah.
Your players get tired. Mm. You run out of rerolls, and then all of a sudden you're looking around like, crap, I've just tapped my team for the rest of the period, and we've still got 16 minutes to go because I pushed too hard.
Yeah.
And so learning how to have that balance of, I can't do it all in one turn, and I don't want to turn it over here, but I've got to dump it in and be okay with that. I think that's really cool. And I, again, that's something else that comes over from actual hockey that I really like.
No, that's the strategic part. I mean, you can't just burn yourself out. It's, you know, you, in this game, I'm talking about real hockey, but I'm more talking about this game. You have to intentionally, you know, skate up the puck in and literally just pass it into their zone, dump it, and
do
a line change. And then you get, you know, on the forecheck, as they say, and get on the attack and play defense, and play a defensive game to get the puck back. And so, and I think I did that a couple times against you where you were kind of burnt. And so then I caught that and I was like, I'm not fully burnt here. I'm just going to dump it in and rest, get all my guys back up to full health. And then you're like, well, I can't rest because he's just going to get the puck and score. So then you're like, so there is this fact of momentum that I think is real in this game. And I think it can be managed in some ways. There is a good amount of luck with the dice that could really affect that problem, which we will dive into. But I think it's important to know that that does feel like hockey in that way of like you are feeling that momentum.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're feeling kind of, you know, pressed down right now. And they're really pushing you in your zone a lot. And you can't get out, can't get through center ice. You know, I have to rest. I have to, you know, that's the thing. You need that those bench. What do they call their? It's nice to have those available because you can't really do anything. Like you're gonna roll bad. It's a dice game. You're gonna roll bad, and so to have the option of re-rolling is huge.
Stamina tokens.
Stamina. Okay. So that makes sense because like you have to have those. You get three, right?
Yeah.
So and there's some way like some of the characters allow you to do a little extra without using them. But you like if you really want a big play, you really need all three of them all in one. Maybe two. One is hard. Like unless you're like a
you
quick
gotta
play.
Be rolling really well.
A
man.
Quick play to be able to do something like that. But the fact that you know you have three of them, if you're constantly just defending, like real hockey, you know you're never gonna get some attack. So I think it's important to manage that. And I think it's kind of neat. It's neat to see that in this game. I think it's really fun.
I would agree. And I think too, I like the flexibility in the different actions.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go through all of them in the how to play, but you could have passing or you could try harder and do the more difficult passing option.
Yeah.
You can shoot or you can go for the slap shot.
From center ice.
If you have a certain player ability.
Yeah.
Then there's also the risky side on the other side of it where you want to poke check or you want to hit. But if you don't do it right or you're rolling too many dice, you could end up in the box.
Yeah.
You know, so there's this how hard do you want to push it? And so I like that they went the extra mile to not just keep it simple, but leaning into the push your luck aspect, they created more of the hockey part of it, which I think is cool. With that, this game is not perfect.
Yeah.
I'll start.
Okay.
Because I think I've thought about this game a lot. And I think this is what I've come to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love the blend of chaos and strategy when I'm playing real hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I even enjoy it when I'm watching hockey. I don't like it in board game form.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, like I sit there and I evaluate this game and I'm like, I don't know what this game wants to be because I see this almost chess-like level of strategy as I'm moving players around the board and how do I position them where to where I'm overcoming my opponent's players' pieces. And I've got to navigate these other things that are really strategic, but then I'm rolling dice.
Mm-hmm.
And if I roll dice badly, no matter what strategy I implement, then the whole thing comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
And for me personally, that was a hard sell as we played. It was, we played multiple games of this. And as we kept playing, I kept feeling this, like we'd get over halfway through and winning or losing, I'd be like, man, I'm just kind of ready to move on.
Yeah.
So for me, that was a real struggle. And I am willing to admit that it's a me problem of not liking this style of mix in board game form. That's my opener.
Okay. Okay. So it's my turn.
You're allowed to go now.
Oh. I agree to some extent. So what I would like to say is that hockey is one of the fastest paced games sports as far as sports wise. It's just,
yeah,
it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's pauses, puck out of play, goalie holds. You have a face off. It's back and forth, back and forth. I've been at a game and it almost went entire period without a stop.
Sure.
Like maybe like one or two. Like that's how fast moving the game could be. And now soccer, obviously, like there's never any pause, whatever. But hockey is so fast paced. It's a really tight area. And I didn't feel like it was fast paced in this game. Very slow paced. And when you wanted to do something, when you wanted to pass or move, it just felt like it's taking too much. It's taking too much actions, too many dice to do the things that I want. Like as an example, like the open ice pass is like a difficult action. Like you can't mess up on an open ice pass. Like that's like one of the, like that's it. It's an open, I'm passing it to an area. Like that should be the easiest thing in the game.
But game mechanic wise, it would be broken.
It would be broken. So I don't know how you would fix that.
I don't know that you can.
I don't think you can. I think mechanically it's fine. I think it could be. I think the open ice pass could be adjusted to make it feel like that. Cause I wanted to do that way more. Because I didn't necessarily wasn't trying to pass it to my guy. I was just trying to get it to an open space to go chase. And that's a part of the game. Like that's part of hockey that you don't really get in this is like you're passing it, you know, dumping and chasing or battling on the boards. And that's not all realistic. I'm not saying it's realistic to put in a game. You can't have like actual hockey sim on this, but I think there are a couple rules that just make it feel kind of bogged down in my opinion. And I don't know if that's,
yeah,
I'm not saying it's the game's fault. I just think it's the aspect of a board game. And I think the rules are fine, you know, maybe to make it feel a little faster that all the players skate a little faster and then you can pass it. Maybe that's it. Like just bump all the numbers up. Like I really want to feel faster. And another thought, like I understand for the sake of hockey that you can't go offsides in games. Arcade style hockey games, even if you play, if it's a video game, offsides isn't a thing. I don't know if I would hate if that were eliminated from this because it just feels so hard to even get anywhere in this game.
That goes back so to hard. What I was just saying about it doesn't know what it wants to be.
Yeah.
There are times where I'm like, I feel like I'm playing NHL Blitz.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where I'm like, I'm playing NHL 2014 on hard mode.
Yeah, exactly. And I am on hard mode because I stink.
Yeah. Well, and it's because even in the different abilities of the skaters, which I referenced earlier,
yeah,
you still have your stereotypes of your defensemen are big, so they move slower.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case. The Predators have Roman Josi on their team.
Yeah,
that's one of the fastest skaters in the league.
Cal Makar is one of the fastest in the league.
Yeah, so it's like, I get it.
Yeah,
and if we're playing NHL Blitz, absolutely.
Yeah,
I totally understand. But are we playing NHL Blitz? Or are we playing
it's like a
hard
mix
mode
up in between?
And again, like you have those different game modes, so I guess. But and again, I have a hard time giving this game crap because I think it's a me problem in this game. And I think it's a me not liking this style because I do think the rules are solid. And I do think if this is a kind of game that you like, then go for it.
Yeah, I
think this is going to be the highest rated game that I don't like that I'm going to give on the podcast to this point.
Fascinating.
Because I think the game is solid.
Yeah.
But there are things like I don't like that my guys more or less stand still while I watch you skate around. Like that really frustrates the crap out of me. And I don't like that.
I don't know.
My goalie's got multiple spaces he's got to cover. I'm watching you tear down the ice, and I've only got so many ways to react.
Yep. No, it's again. I think what it comes down to, I think, is a point that I want to make known is when it comes to sports games, I think because they're just so fast paced. When you put it into a game, it's not fast paced anymore. And I don't like it. Like when it comes, like you mentioned, you know, hockey video game, like, and again, I'm not trying to compare this to a video game, but like if I'm trying to play hockey and feel like I'm playing hockey, I'm going to go play the video game that is fast paced
and
or go out and play outside or something, you know, some street hockey or something.
Sure.
Like if I'm trying to replicate hockey, I'm going to play something that replicates it. Where this, does in a way.
There are a lot of ways it feels like hockey when it shines.
But it doesn't feel fast paced. And for me, that's one of my favorite things about like I love hockey because of how fast paced it is. Like you cannot, like if you're a fan, you can't look down for a second or the puck might be in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And this game just doesn't flow. And maybe that's we're learning or still, but we play a lot of games. It's like, but I just don't think the characters are moving very fast. So it doesn't feel fast. It doesn't feel fast moving. It feels very slow and methodical.
Well, I think there's that too, because I do think that we've played several games of this to the point that we normally would have picked up some of the intricacies.
Yeah.
But because it has that chess-like nature, I do think you have to play it a lot to really see the depth of the strategy of the board game.
Yeah.
And you and I are just not interested in doing that.
Yeah, it's challenging because when it comes to a game like this, you want to, it's about reacting quickly to things. And this is, there's not a reacting quickly. It's, oh my gosh, he moved three spaces that way. I know where he's going now. That's not a reaction. Like, yeah, you're reacting, but it's not like fast paced reaction. If I don't react right now, then I don't get a chance at it. So you're missing those intricacies of a sports game, which is an issue for me. And I don't know, it's not a knock on necessarily the game. I think it's a knock on the genre of a board game, which is challenging.
That's right.
So, but when it comes to the actual hockey itself, like you do play it and you do the things that are in hockey. So that's how I would phrase all that.
No, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And I don't want to harp on it. I feel bad that we've had like several weeks in a row that I've like poo-pooed on games. But
yeah. And again, I'm not necessarily knocking. There's a couple things like, and in these, like you said, the arcade mode, are the skaters faster in the arcade mode?
They're all fours.
Okay.
Like just across the board.
So yeah, I mean that maybe that's what it comes down to of like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just, if you sped it up the play, maybe it would change things, but I have a hard time because like then the offsides and then your players can't, you know, react fast enough. So that becomes challenging as well. It is tough because you know, in games like this is live time board games are really challenging. And then you take a sports thing of like, everybody knows what hockey is. So you're like, you're putting yourself in this hole that you don't have a whole lot of room to succeed in.
Sure.
Because live action is tough. Like in real time board games, you have to have this tension of like, I need to make my decision quickly and efficiently. And if I don't, then I might lose the edge. And so real time board gaming is, I don't know if that's a real term, but I'm saying like in live action, you know,
sure.
Games like this, is, you have to react quickly and you don't have to in this game. It's not like that. So it does, it just becomes a challenge. It is challenging. It's challenging on game design. It's challenging as players of like, okay, I want to make the best move, but I also want to keep this game moving. And then as a designer
that's,
and all that.
And that's what I've seen the designer push back against when talking about length of game.
Yeah.
Is that, well, you got to stop trying to optimize every turn.
Yeah.
And you just got to play.
I totally understand. And there were times where I didn't. I was like, you know, I'm just going to make the pass. I don't know what's open. I'm just going to try it.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's fun. I do think it's still like you turn the puck over and then it's not your turn anymore. You're just sitting there waiting.
But again, are we playing a deep chess strategy game or are we playing NHL Blitz? Like, which one is?
I agree with that. Yeah, I think with the silliness of the art, I think it would be better to do the Blitz style.
And I would love that.
And maybe get rid of, you know, you could even make the board smaller and, you know, I don't know. You could do things to make it feel like this really tight arcade style.
I think for me, the biggest thing, I think you could keep everything else. If you'd figured out a way where the players are taking turns in how they, you know, move around the board instead of one player takes their whole turn as far as they can go with the other player getting a few reactions and then they go.
Yeah.
If you could have figured that out, I think I would like this game a lot more. But as it is,
that would make it feel more like in real time.
I'm watching you skate.
Yeah.
And then you're watching me skate.
Yeah.
And it, yeah.
It doesn't feel in real time as it should.
Exactly. I applaud the effort.
Yeah.
I really do.
No, it's,
and I think
it's not a bad game design.
There are going to be a lot of people out there that are okay with this structure and they're going to enjoy it. And kudos to them. Like, I'm glad for that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's for me, I'm not jiving with it.
Yeah.
All right, Ian, let's talk about a few things. The two player aspect with it being a two top, I feel like is obvious. You could play two or more. Technically, you could play up to four.
Yeah.
I'm never going to do that. No. If I keep playing this game.
No, because it splits up the players. It, you know, you're not playing as much. And
you're not allowed to communicate.
Yeah, that's like, just...
I'm out on all that.
That's just like, okay, we don't want it to be just a two-player game, so how do we add two more?
Yep.
I'm not...
I'm not into it.
It was designed...
It's a two-player game.
It's designed for two.
So with that in mind, on Wolf Designer's website, you can get this game for the low, low price of 99 euros, which is roughly 108 bucks-ish. Off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Are you in or you out? I'm not saying you're going to go out and buy it tomorrow.
That's me.
I'm saying production value based on what's in the box. Do you think it's worth 100 bucks? If we acknowledge that it's going to be liked by players, if we look at what's in the box.
I don't know how this game's $100. $100.
I think I disagree.
I just don't think those minis are worth $100.
I mean, that is what you're paying for. You're paying for pre-painted minis.
There's just so many other games with decent enough minis. Now, these minis are bigger. I don't know. I just think there's a way to make that cheaper.
Absolutely.
I don't think you get $100 worth of value out of it. Minis. How many minis are there? Two.
You got at least
16 minis.
Yeah. Because you got some extra skaters.
Yeah, 16 minis. I mean, there's just so many other games that have more than 16 minis that are more...
Not painted, though.
I know painted adds a lot. That's... Just, don't think that.
He's out.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've
no worries.
Spent around that for a lot more in minis.
We are allowed to disagree.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that the painted... So that's painted. That's what you're saying?
They're out of stock on the unpainted. That was 70 euros.
Without painted?
Without painted.
Okay, that's more reasonable.
You still get the same minis.
I would like
They're
to see,
not
I would like to see 60, 65 dolls, doll hairs. U.S. currency, 65, I think would be... No, I'm saying that's what I would like to see it at.
No, I understand.
Unpainted.
I understand.
I think that would be a reasonable price. And you would say $90. I mean, I guess...
I mean, that is MSRP. So like,
sure.
If this game was distributed to other suppliers, then yeah, that would happen, but it's not.
Well, what I'm saying is I would not spend $110 on this game.
Okay.
But if you find it for cheaper than that, I think it is worth a shot.
Yep. You can find it on some secondary markets.
Yeah.
So there's that.
But when we're talking about straight value, I don't think there's enough game, and those minis are not enough for me to spend $110 US dollars on that, because that's what it would end up being, plus more a little bit with tax and all that.
Sure.
I just don't think there's enough there to justify the 110.
Okay.
It's got really good quality and the cards are good and it's got good art, but not for that, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
That's fair. You're allowed to have an opinion on this podcast.
Yeah.
So
he's going to cut it all out.
With that said, one more thing that we talk about on the two top table, the space that it takes up.
Ah.
This is a big board.
Yeah.
I mean, you need a good size table for this game.
That's why I said like shrinking the board, just shrink it in half and make it like arcade style would be.
Yeah.
That's what I would prefer. So yeah, it is really big. It's a big board.
Mm-hmm.
That would make it feel faster too. But anyway.
We've said it.
It's a critique. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a
critique.
It takes up a lot of space.
No playing on the airline tray table.
No, but I mean, when it comes down to it, it doesn't know exactly what it wants to be. It does have the effect of being this big hockey game. So there's that. I would say, based on all that, and I have said a lot. I think it has moments of greatness, moments of hockey, moments that will be written in your mind forever as this great
wow
hockey play that I
don't know about forever.
Just let me finish. Of this great hockey play that I zigzag deked around players, passed behind, threw the legs, passed to my teammate. He shoots, he scores. That happened one time.
Oh no.
And And you will have that moment, I hope, every game that you play if you ever pick this up. I will say, though, I would say that this game is a... I am going to give it a C. And
that's better than I expected.
I think because I do think it pulls off a little bit of hockey, and I had that moment. I had that one moment. If I didn't have that moment at all, this might have been an F. But but I did have that moment, and I did have plays where I like, oh, that was actually kind of cool. I like that. And so it does have it. I don't know. Again, like I said, all this is not really game design necessarily. I think the game is designed well. There's just a couple things that maybe I would change to like make it feel like this arcade more than just like this sim. I don't know if the simulation of a hockey game is really what I want. I want this arcade style of a hockey game. So I think that's really what it comes down to of why I'm not giving it graded higher or lower, is that because I think it does achieve some of the things it wants. So anyway,
I'm going to give it a B minus.
It's pretty good.
I think it's a good game. I think if you like this style of game, then you're going to really enjoy it. And I recognize that a lot of my frustrations with this game lie in my own personal taste. And I understand the difficulties. I'm also giving it some grace because I understand the difficulties of attempting, like we've talked about, attempting a live sport in board game form. That's just really hard to do. But there are also some things that I just have a really hard time with. And I, like we said, and I think this really wraps up, it started and ends with this thought. I wish this game could have decided one way or the other what it wanted to be. I think that would have really been a big boom for it. It would have been a big boon for it. And instead, I'm left walking away from it saying, I don't know what you wanted out of this. I don't know what I want out of this because of that. And I'm just going to sell the game. And that's okay. Like when I bought it, having had first editions experience, my thought was, we'll try it. If not, I'll just sell it. And that's okay. Now, I've played this several times in hopes of not selling it, but it's just not one that's going to see the table. And so we move on. But I will acknowledge a good game design.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's designed well. So there's that.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game or any hockey experience that you have, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on Board Game Geek. All these links are also in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, to Anna Snyder who made the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the feature table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
He shoots! He scores!
Red Wings suck!